Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
We're going to just do a short word this evening, just quick 15 minutes. And if you've been here for the last couple of Sunday mornings, we've been doing a short series on living life on Holy Spirit Lane. We're going to do part three tonight, just a short part. We've been looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, who's so often the most ignored person in the church. And then we're going to go back into worship and we're going to pray for people. And we're going to believe for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. This is a pretty cool rocking chair. It's very comfortable. You know, I think it probably represents two things in our Christian walk with God and maybe in the lives of many individuals and churches as well. Firstly, is that most of what we do in life, if we have to be honest, is all to get more comfortable. We get saved by Jesus and then we desperately try to become as comfortable as we can before we check out of this life and check into eternity. But see, the thing with the Holy Spirit is He doesn't allow for comfort. Many people think the Lord just wants to make them happy. No, He doesn't. He wants to make you holy. The Holy Spirit wants to make us more like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But I think the second thing that this rocking chair represents in our lives and perhaps in some of our churches is that sometimes we're so busy going to and fro, busy doing things for the Lord, busy, there's stuff happening, apparently, seems like we're doing things for the Lord. We can even increase the pace and get very busy for Jesus. But then when I get up in a few moments, you'll realize I've actually gone nowhere. I'm in the exact same place as I was when I first got on the chair. And I think that's one of the greatest frustrations for so many Christians. I love Jesus, I come to church, but every year my life is the same. Every year it's the same issues, the same struggles. Why can't I move forward? And for so many churches in our city and around the world, we've got all these wonderful programs and all these fellowship groups at church, but the reality is there's a lot of motion, but there's actually no progress. The Holy Spirit was given to advance the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that line from that song we sang earlier, the Spirit lit the flame of the church. I want us to have a look at the screen at Luke chapter 4. Many of you would know this passage of Scripture. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power, and reports about Him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When He came to the village of Nazareth, His boyhood home, He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the Scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me. Everyone say anointed. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue looked at Him intently. Then He began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus here quotes from the book of Isaiah, a passage that was written more than 700 years before His birth, but He quotes it and says, this that was prophesied was written about me, the Messiah, and by doing so, by reading that in the context of Himself, two things He establishes. Firstly, He reveals Himself as the Messiah to the people. But secondly, He recognizes that everything He will do will only be possible because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon His life. And so in this passage, what we see is the influence of the Holy Spirit on the life of Jesus but also the influence of the Holy Spirit on the life of every single believer who follows and walks in the footsteps of Jesus. A few thoughts this evening before we continue worshiping. Firstly, the Holy Spirit brings the anointing of God. You know, that word or that term anointing is often understood by many preachers. And I'm always amazed that often when preachers use the word anointing, they all of a sudden start quivering in their voice. And they often change to an American accent at the very moment that they say the anointing, and it all becomes weird. There's nothing weird about the Holy Spirit that I see in Scripture. That word anointing in the Greek in the New Testament in which it was written is the word krio, and it simply means to commission or consecrate. Jesus saying the Holy Spirit has anointed me, He's commissioned me, or He's consecrated me, set me apart to do the work of the Father. You know, the truth is that everyone who desires to be used by God, everyone who desires to minister on behalf of God, requires the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their life. It is a prerequisite, because otherwise all we are speaking and doing is simply us. And unfortunately, no matter how awesome we might think we are, you and I are not enough to convince the world of its sin and of the need of a Savior in Jesus Christ. But the moment we are commissioned or consecrated, anointed by God, all of a sudden it is no longer us who are speaking. It now becomes the Holy Spirit who in us who begins to speak through us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us for the work of God. Never forget, the work of God is not a natural work. It is a supernatural work. And a supernatural work can never be done with a natural power. It always requires a higher power, a supernatural power. You know, for those of you who know the book of Acts, in Acts 1 and 2, Jesus ascends to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon all the believers. And all of a sudden, they go from being a group of misfits, a group of people who were cowards, who were scared. All of a sudden, they are turning the world upside down. They are preaching with boldness, yet they are uneducated. The only thing that changed was the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to effectively do the work of God. You know, I always have a little bit of a chuckle sometimes when we at church here sometimes get people CVs applying for a job or phoning us or emailing us. I was just wondering if there's any jobs going at church. As if working for the Lord at church is something for those who can't make it in the real world, and then you end up as a last resort coming to church. The work that we do as a staff team and amongst our volunteers and everyone who plays a part in what we do, it's not a natural work. It is a supernatural work that requires a supernatural power. That power is available through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I love what Bill Johnson from Bethel Church says. He says, we've been designed as a resting place for the Spirit of God, changing every environment we walk into. I believe that is God's plan for every single believer, that we would have the Holy Spirit in us, so that when we go into wherever it is we go, we carry the Holy Spirit with us. When you go into work tomorrow, you carry the Holy Spirit with you. It should change the atmosphere there. When you go into your messed up family situations, you carry the Holy Spirit. When you go into your social environments, you carry the Holy Spirit. As we sang before, the atmosphere begins to change when the presence of the Holy Spirit is brought into an environment. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit brings the freedom of God. Jesus said, I've come to release captives and set the oppressed free. Jesus fully understood what he was called to do, because what the devil loves to do is he loves to bind people. He loves to keep people captive. He loves to use their depression and their anxiety and their oppression and their sin to bind them and to hold them captive. But Jesus said, I've come to do the opposite of that. I've come to set captives free. I've come to release people from the yoke of sin so they can be free to do what I need them to do. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Many of you know this. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, that's why you and I as Christians so desperately need the Holy Spirit, because He brings freedom to our lives. You know, I've realized after being in ministry for many years that there are many Christians who love Jesus, who are in church most weekends, and yet they are still not free. Yes, they've been forgiven of their sins. Yes, they will go to heaven because of that one day. But they live a pretty miserable existence on this earth, always bound by issues, the same issues, always thinking anxious thoughts, always worrying about things, never able to forgive people who've hurt them. And we carry all this baggage around. There might even be one or two of you here this evening who have suicidal thoughts. You've been thinking, you know what, what's the point? I love Jesus, I've given my heart to Him, yet I'm as miserable as sin. Maybe I must just finish it. See, that's what the devil wants you to believe. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is always freedom. He brings freedom wherever He's given permission to dwell. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit brings the healing and restoration of God. Jesus said, He's anointed me so that the blind will see. You know, Jesus, who walked around full of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit wherever He went, when He touched sick people, they were healed. When He laid hands on deaf ears, they opened. When He came across people who were lame, they walked again. But He also changed people's thinking. He changed people's emotional well-being. People who would worry and people who were just emotionally broken, He restored them. Ultimately, He came to restore us spiritually. That's the greatest miracle of all that Jesus did when He went to the cross. But I love Jeremiah 30:17. I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. You want to know what the Holy Spirit does? Well, that's what He does. He restores us and He heals our wounds. Lastly, the Holy Spirit brings God's blessing and favor. Jesus said, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to declare that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The Holy Spirit brings or dispenses God's blessing and favor. I'm sure most of you have been to a pharmacy or a chemist where you've had to go to the dispensary section. That's normally the section right at the back. And the only people who are allowed there are people with a script. If you go there and try to get the hardcore medication, they'll say, we need a script first. You can't just put on a smile and tell them you come to Rivers Church. It doesn't work like that. You've got to have a script. And according to what you've been described or diagnosed with by the doctor, he then prescribes medication for you, and you go to the dispensary, and they will dispense it on your behalf according to the script. The trouble, though, with those scripts, as I found out, is that they expire. And just when you've run out of medication, and you go back there, and you say, I've come to collect my next script, they tell you, sorry, you need to go back again. Your script has expired. So you got to go all the way back again to the doctor, get diagnosed with the same thing again, take the script and go, and that expires. Isn't that how people try to justify themselves under the old covenant? You see, the script that we have is the blood of Jesus. But see, under the Old Testament, you'd have to sacrifice something, and then you'd have to go cash in so that you were forgiven. But then you had to go back when you messed up again. Every year, the same process. But when Jesus died on the cross, don't miss this. He gave us a script signed in His blood that was good for all time, so that whenever we needed something from God, we go to the dispensary and the Holy Spirit, who dispenses the blessing and the favor of God, says, as much as you need, I've got available for you. As much wisdom as you need, it's available. As much favor as you need, as much breakthrough as you need, as much protection and love of God, it's all here. And the script never expires. But you have to take it to the dispensary. Stand to your feet with me. I want to read you one last scripture. I don't often use the Message paraphrase, but Ephesians 5:18 is quite profound and so accurate in the Message. It says, drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. I don't know about you, but when I think of that, I get a picture. I get a picture from my old days. Let me just be honest here. Of a big jug of beer, my mouth wide open, getting as much in as quickly as I can. Some of you more spiritual than me, that's okay. But you know what I think we do sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit and being filled with what God has for us? I think sometimes we get too polite because we don't want to ruffle things. We're too polite. And so instead of doing what the Word says, they're drinking huge draughts of Him, we drink of the Holy Spirit as if we're having tea with the Queen. And we're all polite with a finger up there, little sip. Ooh, the Holy Spirit. I thought I felt something. Did I feel something? No, you open your mouth up and you say, pour into me, Holy Spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Let me tell you one last thing. I'm getting into preaching mode now. No, we need to do other things tonight. Tomorrow evening is Monday. Monday in our house is family night. And so we always do we don't do vegetables and like normal foods. We always do like awesome foods on Monday night. But tomorrow night, my boys here, just to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, we're going to Burger King. Burger King and Umhlanga. Now, we don't often do fast foods because it's actually not good for you, but when we do go, we always go to Burger King. Firstly, because I think their chips are better than any other chips. They have awesome chips, by the way. But secondly, see, I've got four kids. They get thirsty. They're thirsty before the meal, they're thirsty during the meal, they're thirsty after the meal, and they're thirsty when they get home. You see, the thing with Burger King, when you order a meal there, it's free refills. I'm going to see many of you there tomorrow, and I know that. It's free refills at Burger King. As much as you can drink, as often as you can drink, as much as you need, it's available. I think what the Word is saying there is, hey, that's what it's like with the Holy Spirit. Free refills. As much as you need.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.